Stubman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063 The Game. Streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the losses of Amanda J. Gentry. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Okay, so because it's Thanksgiving and I'm in a festive mood, I am trying to find my empathy today. I am trying to find it because I listened to the Todd Downing press conference today, and what an unmitigated disaster that Todd Downing press conference was. And I'm trying to find, I mean, you know, I've been trying to be more empathetic, right, Caroline?
It's something that you've been practicing, yes.
Okay. So you've been trying to be more empathetic. And so I watched this Todd Downing press conference today. And back me up on this. We weren't even going to talk much about the Todd Downing press conference, a big game with Cincinnati. And then all of a sudden, Todd Downing opened his mouth, and I could not believe what I heard. I could not believe it. So it started with a two-minute statement from Todd Downing, in which, of note, the first thing that stood out to me was he admitted to doing it. You know how these guys have these press conferences where it's like, I can't get into the details because of ongoing litigation. But, I mean, he admitted to doing it. This was Todd Downing in his opening two-minute statement today.
I put my family through some things that they don't deserve. I have an amazing wife and an amazing son who love me unconditionally. And, you know, I don't want them to have to endure anything more than what I've brought on. It's devastating that my actions or anything that I'm involved with could ever bring negative attention to or bring distractions to this organization, to the ownership, Miss Amy, and to the front office and obviously Coach Vrabel.
So he basically just said my actions to bring that to this team, you know, that, and my wife and kid. The second thing in that opening statement, and I went back and listened to it, he didn't really say he was sorry. In fact, if you we're not going to play the whole 2.5 minute opening statement from Todd Downing. You can go listen to that on your own. But if you listen to it, it is, I don't think at any point does he use the word sorry. He admits to doing it, which we just played right there, where he talked about my wife and son, what they've been through, and this ownership, and John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. And he talks about how sensitive people can be to the situation, and we know what that means. But he doesn't apologize to the fans. He doesn't say anything to the fans. And again, I don't think the word sorry was included in there. And so I'm not prosecuting him in a court of law.
Is sorry?
I mean, he better be sorry, because when he goes in front of the judge, you know, and clearly he's going to admit that he did it because he admitted to all of us that he did it. So when he goes in front of the judge, then all of a sudden, don't you think that the judge is going to want to see some contrition?
Does it not sound like he is remorseful for his actions in that statement right there?
It sounded like he wasn't accepting an award. It sounded like he was, you know, my wife and my son and the ownership. And not one time did he say he was sorry. Not I'm sorry. Didn't hear that. Secondly, what about the fans? What about the fans? That's what these press conferences are for. The second thing Downing says, which is typical, but I take a little umbrage with it, is the idea that that was not the appropriate time to address the situation.
Because of the nature of the situation, I know there are a lot of questions. I know people are looking for details and answers, and unfortunately, because of the situation, I'm not able to discuss quite a bit of that evening. And at the proper time, when appropriate, I will answer any questions that I can.
And see, that drives me crazy too, because
but I get it.
No, but it's appropriate now. Now is the appropriate time. Now, if it may not be
it's
advantageous.
It's appropriate because you want the answers.
No.
So you find it appropriate to address it.
It's not inappropriate. Inappropriate. This is the time. People are there to hear what you have to say about this. That is the appropriate time to do it. He used the wrong word. He should have said it is not advantageous for me to talk about this because there is pending litigation. And if he were to go in depth, now the judge is going to ask the same questions the press is asking, right? Like there's a rideshare program. Why didn't you use it? And he's not going to be able to look at the judge and be like, yeah, I'm just focused on Cincinnati this week. Not going to be able to do that. But I go back to the word appropriate. Inappropriate would be to get up there and start talking about your sex life. Inappropriate would to be to get up there and start talking about politics. Inappropriate, that's not the right word. This is the appropriate time to address it. Now, you may not want to address it, and that's fine, but just be honest. Just say.
Is it fair to nitpick his vocabulary?
I think if you're having a mea culpa in which we do it when we're talking about second down and four, if you're having a mea culpa in which you embarrass the organization, yes, every word you say matters.
But not saying appropriate or advantageous. I understand why he is not divulging more information than is needed. Because there's an ongoing legal investigation, and anything that he says could completely screw himself or the organization over.
You mean unlike him admitting to having done it in the first cut that we played?
Well, I think there's enough evidence to show that he has done it, but beyond what was going on that night, where did you drink, all of the specifics of the situation, don't you think all of those questions that we all have, I know you and I both have, I'm sure we're not the only ones, the answers to those questions are probably much more incriminating than him just saying, hey, look, just not right now. There will be a time when I can, but not right now.
What court's he in right now? What court was he in today? What court was he testifying in front of today?
Of public opinion.
Okay. Public opinion is you did it. You didn't say, my public opinion, you did it. You didn't really say you were sorry, though you did make sure to shout out your wife and kid and shout out the organization that stood behind
you. It was not a shout out. It wasn't like a, hey, shout out to my wife for being supportive of me and my DUI.
I didn't hear the word, hey, fans, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. And so, and then he even goes further. And it's like, dude, if you're going to open it up a little bit, then if I'm the Titans and I'm sitting there with this press conference, I'm embarrassed. This was Todd Downing with the back and forth where he started pleading the fifth.
The rideshare availability here, is that well communicated here? And are you aware of that?
Yes. Yes.
So why not use it?
I can't get into the specifics of that night.
Did you drink here or on the plane?
I can't get into the specifics of that night.
I mean, if you're going, don't admit that you know about the rideshare program and then.
When he said it, though, he sounded very apprehensive. Like, yes, I did know about it when he said it. He was probably like, oh, crap, should I have said that? But that was such a lawyered up response of, I'm not saying anything about that night.
I know, but he opened the door. And again, this is the public opinion court and we are the jury. And I mean, I just
but like, obviously he knew about it.
I just think I would hope that he knew about it.
I think that's a pretty well.
Actually, I would hope that he doesn't know about it, right?
That's so true. You would hope he doesn't. But that doesn't excuse it. Whether he did or he didn't, it doesn't excuse it. I mean, he can probably afford the $20 Lyft or Uber or whatever it was from the airport to Williamson County.
And then, Ian, if you could, number five on Downing, this one, I mean, this one got me. Like, if I owned the Titans, I would have already been mad, but I'd be even more mad after hearing Todd Downing. And Gentry Estes, and Caroline, you can back me up on this one. I have already chastised Gentry for this question. And I love him, but I sent him a gif of Oprah with this question. But this was a little Q&A here about just how hard this has been for Todd.
Todd, kind of separate from that incident, but just how difficult has this season been for you personally?
I'm well aware of the pressures, the responsibilities, and the expectations that come with the privilege of coaching in this league. And each season's going to have its own challenges. I'm a man that wants to step up and answer challenges, and I believe that I've tried to do that and will continue to do that given the opportunity.
Is this the toughest challenge you've had to face in your career?
Can't think of much tougher.
Oh, man, you did it to yourself, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, I'm playing the world's tiniest violin for you. And my question is, what was the point of asking that question?
The and one
I don't
from
want to
Gentry?
Get on Gentry. Yeah, but like, what? Like,
how hard has this been for you, Todd?
Well, not even this, but the season. Like, is that what drove you to do this?
I'm going to give Gentry some credit. I think Gentry was trying to get Todd Downing to maybe open up a little bit.
Maybe so, and that's what I'm asking. I don't know the motivation behind the question.
I mean, when you go on Oprah's couch, she does not sit there and say, "Why'd you do what you did?" You know what I mean?
It's like, let's unbox this a little bit.
So,
but
we are the court of public opinion. And honestly, I'm bothered. In public, if I'm a juror in the court of public opinion, I was bothered today. Now, again, I'm trying to find more empathy, but I knew what had happened basically coming in. And then the press conference today, I mean, again, just say you're sorry to the fans. So we'll get in. 615-737-1025. We'll get you in as well. Coming up next, though, the one thing that absolutely positively I thought if I was the Titans today, I would have been furious. As far as Downing is concerned, probably skeptical on Friday, furious today. We'll get to that coming up next. To me, it was the most shocking part of the press conference. We'll get to that. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. Football fans, make this a Thanksgiving to remember with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because when you bet an NFL same-game parlay from now through November 28th, all customers get up to $100 in free bets, win or lose. Just bet an NFL SGP or SGP Plus of at least $20. The bigger your bet, the more you'll get back in free bets. That's right. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way for you to combine your bets for a chance at a larger payday. Build your own or choose from one of the popular SGPs pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, get up to $100 in free bets, win or lose, when you bet an NFL same-game parlay of four legs or more. New to FanDuel? Sign up with the promo code JGM. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt, and the max free bet is $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
One report that stated that you had received, or that you communicated that you had been receiving death threats. Is that report accurate? And if so, can you elaborate on that?
I mentioned how much my family's already been through, and that is a portion of what I am not at liberty to discuss at the moment.
Did you call the authorities about such matters?
I understand there are a lot of questions, and I wish that I were able to just lay everything out, but I'm not able to comment on the events that night right now.
Whoa. Did you hear that?
That he's not able to comment on the events that night?
I mean, just the report was, because WSMV reported it on Friday, that when Todd Downing got pulled over, and like, if I'm the Titans, I'm already skeptical when I hear this, or I shouldn't say if I'm the Titans, just me in general. I am completely skeptical when I hear the WSMV report that Todd Downing was pulled over and said that he was rushing home because his family was receiving death threats. Then he's asked about the report, and he basically confirms the report, right?
Yes.
He says that his family's receiving death threats.
Well, he said that his family has been going through a difficult time, and he can't address the death threats at this time, which to me is, yes, that's true.
So then Paul asks, I think, a great follow-up. Did you contact the authorities?
That's a very fair question to ask.
Does it have anything to do with you driving home, under the influence?
I mean, it could maybe be justification of I was, trying so hard to go home and protect my family at all costs. It doesn't make what he did right. It doesn't justify driving under the influence. Maybe it provides context as to why he did it, but it doesn't make anything better. It doesn't change anything.
Do you buy that?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No, like, I mean, from the second I saw the WSMV article, I thought, what? Like, what? That sounds like such a convoluted excuse.
I mean,
for their sake, I hope it's not true.
About the death threats?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure like somebody on Twitter, you know, I don't know this, but Paul Kaharsky's question is the right course of action, which is if he was getting death threats, call the cops.
Yes.
Like, that's what you're supposed to do. And so Todd Downing basically I thought that the Todd Downing that I was getting death threats was the subtle way of him trying to play the do you know who I am card. And so then he gets his hand caught in the cookie jar on that. He gets asked about it. He confirms that the death threats are a thing. And Paul's like, did you call the cops? Because it sounds kind of fishy. If you were really all that worried about your family getting death threats, if you didn't call the cops or if you didn't call team security. And it's not like calling the cops about getting death threats is specific to that night. And I don't understand how calling the cops would affect his case one way or another, right? Like all of a sudden it's, well, you know, judge, I was getting death threats. What is the judge going to ask?
Did you call the police?
Did you call the cops? I mean, so
did you call the people that could actually come in and do something to help protect your family?
So we have a press conference now where the man did not say he was sorry. And
I don't think that's fair, because just because he did not explicitly say the words, I am sorry, I think that he showed remorse. It was enough for me to understand that he feels bad about what he did and he wishes it never happened.
Do you think that he owed some either more contrition or at least a sign of apology, like a legitimate apology?
He did show a sign of apology.
No, like actually saying I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah, but saying you're sorry never hurts anything.
So, and this death threats thing,
I am very confused about how that even started, what the story is.
Until you have some proof that those things existed and that you took them seriously, and i.e. called the cops, until you do that, to me, that's just like A.J. Brown's camp. Remember the A.J. Brown summer camp where he was like, I'm still going to try to host my summer camp, even though I got traded to Philadelphia. And then it was like, I'm going to try to get Derrick Henry to host the camp. And then it was, I'm not hosting the camp because I'm getting death threats.
Yes.
It's like, what?
From who, AJ? From who?
What?
For Todd Downing and his family's sake, I hope this isn't true. But it's such a strange element and layer of an already very confusing story.
And if it is true, and I'm not saying that it's not true, but the actions are leading me to believe that they, you know, probably aren't. And again, this is the court of public opinion.
Sounds fishy.
And we are the public opinion. And on Thanksgiving, I don't want to, I prefer to not get in trouble on Thanksgiving. But in the court of public,
I prefer not get in trouble on any day, to be honest.
But especially Thanksgiving. I'm trying to be thankful today. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. KO is going to kick us off today. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, KO.
Yes, I love your show, Jared, and I've been with you on most of everything you said. But with Todd Downey, wouldn't you think that right now the GM would be laughing at you because you're not wanting to forgive him? He's just now called one of the best games in this season, and we're wanting to convict him as if we do nothing wrong.
Does that matter? Does that matter that he called a good game on Thursday night to you?
No, what I'm saying is, have you ever did anything wrong and wanted to be forgiven for it? Forgiven.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what I said when I wanted to be forgiven?
Again,
you know what I said when I wanted to be forgiven?
What,
Caroline? What do you think I said? Thank you, KO, for your call. What do you think I said when I wanted to be forgiven in my life?
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Why are you so hung up on that? That is like the smallest thing, in my opinion.
Because it he felt to me like he wasn't really sorry. It felt to me, what and the Titans, and this is a Titan thing right here with this. It feels like they're sorry he got caught, not sorry that he did it. That's what's bothering me.
I don't get how you picked up on that at all.
Oh, I mean, Vrabel yesterday. I mean, I thought Vrabel yesterday. I thought what this was with Vrabel is that Vrabel said, we'll get to the Vrabel thing, because I don't think Vrabel did the court of public opinion any favors. And again, it's a DUI. And I know people in my life who have gotten DUIs, and they're good people, and they're not bad people, and their lives, I would hope, are not ruined because they got a DUI. And at the same time, I think that we all have to remember how serious a DUI could be as opposed to what happened or what didn't. And so there's a huge gray area here. And I'm not saying Todd Downing should be fired, but I felt a significant lack of contrition today, and it bothered me. I felt like, and you know this as well as anybody, Caroline, that when I feel like somebody's yanking my chain, that really drives me up a wall. Yep. I mean, I'm trying to be more empathetic. I'm trying to think, okay, what should Todd Downing have done? What should Todd Downing have said? Forget about the fact that he should have used the ride share and he shouldn't have driven home drunk and he shouldn't have been going 95
That's
miles
obvious.
An hour. Right. Once you get there, put yourself in his shoes. What should he have done today at the podium? And as I'm listening to his two-minute apology in which he didn't say he's sorry, he never talked about the fans. He never talked about the role that he plays in the community. He never talked about any of that. It was like, let me make sure that I check everybody off on the checklist of, you know, I got the coach, I got the GM, I got the owner, I got my family. The players, I got them, check. And that just didn't feel very sorry to me. That's all I'm saying.
I do wonder if part of this was the lawyer saying, don't say you're sorry, because if you say you're sorry, you are admitting guilt.
But didn't he admit to the guilt anyways?
When he talked about my family's been going through a hard time, is what all of this that's been going on has been really difficult on my family. Doesn't mean that I did it. Not saying that I did it, but I'm going through a legal process because I have to.
But he said it was because of his actions.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. We're back to your phones. And then the Vrabel thing. I do want to touch on Vrabel yesterday because it was different, I felt, personally, than Vrabel Friday. Caroline's going to tell you, though, about the Caesars Sportsbook app.
Yes, I do. It is time for the Caesars Sportsbook Report. Now, your first bet with Caesars is on Caesars up to $1,250. Just sign up using the promo code RADIOFULL, one word, RADIOFULL, and then place your first bet. And if you win, that money is all yours. Go have fun with it. But if not, don't worry about it, because you'll get that stake back as a free bet. Now, it's Thanksgiving week. We've got so many great football games going on this week. So I will start with the first one coming up tomorrow night, the Egg Bowl. Give me Ole Miss -2. I'm also going to take the over 61 because both of those teams can put up points like nobody's business. But that's my take. Do what you want to do. Just do it the Caesars Sportsbook app. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a credit. Must use within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get.
We'll continue forward with, how things were as Todd is our offensive coordinator. Now those things could change. You know, I want to make sure that everybody understands that. At any point in time when we hear from the league or, you know, that, the legal process, you know, those things could obviously change. I want to make sure that everybody understands that. But as, right now, that's where we're at, status quo.
Why not be proactive and not wait on the league and do something as an organization rather than wait and let the league handle a difficult situation?
And again, I appreciate that. I do. I think it's my experience, the organization's experience, that we'll just wait for everything to play out. And then, obviously, if the decisions that we make require us to be held accountable, we'll absolutely do that.
There we go. I thought that was a good question from Paul Kaharsky that was like, Why not be proactive? And Vrabel's like, well, we'll just wait. And, if our actions require us to be punished, then we'll be punished. And
so
I was
it's
like,
why aren't you being proactive? Because we don't want to be.
We don't want to be. And I thought Paul Kaharsky actually asked Vrabel to that an excellent follow-up, because Downing's press conference was horrible today, I thought, as far as the court of public opinion is concerned. But Vrabel, I thought Vrabel had a good press conference on Friday. I thought Vrabel yesterday could not have given two poops about this. The contrition from Mike Vrabel was absolute zero. On Friday, it looked like he cared. Yesterday, it was like, stop asking me, I don't care. This was Paul's follow-up to Vrabel.
You said if the decisions we make require us to be held accountable, you don't feel the decisions that you've made require you to be held accountable?
I think that, again, our focus is on Cincinnati. We understand that there's things outside of football that we have to deal with, and certainly in this case that we'll have to do that. So this is the decision. This is where we're at right now, and that could obviously change.
I mean, good God. I mean, when Vrabel talks about there are things outside of football, like, I think that's like, a storm comes and a tree hits somebody's house. You know, that's something that you have to deal with outside of football. This is a guy's individual actions. Again, Friday, it was, we take this very seriously. The league takes this very seriously. We can't comment because of the league, but we take it seriously. We understand how important this is. We take it seriously. And yesterday it was like, ask me about the Bengals, please. I don't care to talk about this anymore. I'm on to football. And it's like, Mike, you're a great coach, man, but sometimes you got to have a little bit more tact, like just a little bit more.
I don't blame him. Like, if I'm Vrabel, I want to talk about the Bengals. If I'm Vrabel, I'm sick and tired of talking about this. But to your point, sometimes you got to do things that you don't want to do. Sometimes you got to answer questions that you don't want to answer on subjects that you don't want to talk about. Boo freaking who? This is what everyone wants to know about, is Todd Downing's DUI and what's going to happen with him with the organization.
And like I said Friday, if they don't do anything, then it's going to look like they condone it. And if they do something, then it's going to be a standard that everybody's going to have to be held to. And that's not a fair situation, I believe, for the organization to be put in. But when Vrabel is just sitting there like, next question, next question, next questioning like that, it looks like you don't care. And as the head coach, you are the spokesperson of the organization. And if I owned that team, I'd be freaking pissed at Mike Vrabel. Because I'd be like, you get out there every time this comes up, you show some contrition, because we don't want our community, whom we're asking for $1.7 billion or whatever it is, $1.2 billion or whatever, we don't want our community to think that we don't care. And when Vrabel answers questions like that, it looks like he doesn't care. Regardless of whether or not, what is Vrabel supposed to say? Show a little bit more contrition. I get that that's how Vrabel gets when he doesn't want to answer questions. This is different than who's going to play left guard this week. It's just different. Jason is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. What you got, Jason?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to tell you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too.
And then also I wanted to say, for the Tom Downey situation, if your family's receiving death threats, why are you even drinking? Why aren't you rushed home to get home? Maybe you get a speeding ticket, but why are you even drinking? And when did that death threat happen, if it even actually happened?
I think all these questions, thank you for your call, Jason. I think all these questions are valid. I mean, the death threat thing, I'm sorry. And I am not somebody, I'm not one of these people who, requires proof for absolutely every single kind of statement, because I mean, I don't know. I told you guys about the time that prostitute broke into my house, and it's not like I provided proof of fingerprints or anything or whatever, though I still do have the picture of the time that she roached that cigarette in the cup holder of my nice couch. But, I'm sure there are people out there that are like, oh, no, that story probably whatever. But so I get it.
That story never gets old.
It never gets old. It never gets old. And, boy, I tell you, the amount of scared that I was running down those steps, I would have gone in the first round with how fast I sprinted down those steps. If I ran a 40 time at the combine like that, the Titans would go from like, oh, you say all this crazy stuff on the radio to, oh, you want to play linebacker for us? Like, that's how fast I sprinted down those steps. Anywho, I say this about the Downing thing. If you're going to have death threats as an adult, you have to call the cops. And so if all of a sudden the only time that anybody, including the cops or team security or whomever, hears about these death threats are when it is convenient for you to try to get out of a DUI, then it just seems incredibly fishy. Now, if Todd Downing had been talking to team security and the Metro Police about these death threats ahead of time, then good for Todd Downing. And good for, you know, Metro Police to find out who did this. And people should not be trying to threaten the offensive coordinator about what happens on second down. That's ridiculous. And it's wrong. But, I mean,
but it still doesn't excuse it. I mean, if he did call Metro Police, if he did call security, if he did go through the necessary steps to make sure that his family was safe, good. Still doesn't excuse the fact that you were driving while drunk. Like, it still doesn't, you know, negate the fact that you were driving under the influence and that's against the law.
And
but at least you went through the appropriate steps. And I would say, okay, well, then your family, unfortunately, was in danger.
And if he didn't go through the appropriate steps, then what does it make you think?
It makes me think what I already think, that it is awfully fishy.
Just like AJ's camp. 615-737-1025. What do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in says, you two are the only ones that care about what happens to Todd Downing. Obviously, Mike Vrabel wants to move on, but you want to linger on this.
I mean, of course Mike Vrabel wants to move on. Duh.
Mike Vrabel doesn't even want to talk about what was wrong with the quarterback's ankle, much less the offensive coordinator's DUI. Like,
I mean, I don't think, you know, I actually asked Ian during the break. I was like, do you think that people care about this? And I'll be completely frank with you. I don't know at the level of which people do care about it. I will say that when I saw that Todd Downing got a DUI, I'm like, on Friday morning in the Chicago airport with TD, I was like, this is going to be all anybody wants to talk about. Then, you know, as it's gone on and other things have happened, people's attention has shifted. Then Todd Downing got up there and set up a bunch of, you know, contradictory stuff. You know, that I can't talk about it, but I'm really, really sorry to my wife and kids and to the owner. It's like, so you did it, but I can't talk about it. So you said you've been receiving death threats. This has been a very tough year on me and my family. So did you call the cops about those death threats? I can't talk about it. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, I don't think any of that is contradictory. I think all of that is, I can't talk about it because it's an ongoing legal investigation. I don't think he contradicted himself at all.
Oh, I do. He got up there at the very beginning and he said, you know, my actions to do this to my family and to do this to the owner and the team and the coach. I mean,
that was not admitting guilt of specifics of where he was drinking, what the death threats were. That's what he wants to avoid.
I mean, to me, it's either you did it or you didn't do it, and you're saying you did it. When you talk about it being your actions.
He didn't say that he did it, but he said his actions have made it very difficult on him and his family.
Well, if you didn't do it, would you say that your actions were the cause of the problem?
I don't know what I would say, to be honest with you. Are you going to get up there and say, I'm innocent?
I've never been framed of a crime in my life, and I hope to never be framed of a crime in my life. But if I was framed of a crime, I think what I would say is not, you know, I'm sorry my actions have caused everybody to think that I'm evading my taxes. I'd be like, I didn't do it. You know what I mean? In fact, a lot of people, that's their, you know, I'm looking forward to my day in court. We did not hear that from Todd Downing. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Now, I do have a theory about the players in all of this. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, he'll join us next. We'll run that by him and get his thoughts on the Bengals, who he poo-pooed last year before the playoff game, and of course we know that they won. Hey, join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, and be sure to follow us on Instagram at 1025 The Game Nashville. Hey, join 1025 1063 The Game at the Corner Pub downtown tonight to watch the Predators take on the Detroit Red Wings at 6 o'clock. Watch the game and enter for your chance to win tickets to a future Predators home game. By the way, I'm going to the game on Saturday. I got a feeling that the more I get down on the Predators, the more they win. I can't explain it. So they got a big one. They got two big ones this weekend. So we'll see Friday and Saturday. So we'll see how that goes. Chris Sanders joins us now. Former Titans receiver presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Parman Energy, now hiring fuel drivers, ParmanEnergy.com. Chris, Todd Downing calls the best game that I think he's had over the last 2 years. And then he gets pulled over on his way home with a DUI. We all know DUI is serious. I do have a theory, though, that I want to run by you as a former player. And that is that I don't think the players care. Like, I don't think this is a, he needs to address it with the team and the team would be upset at him or anything like that. What is your experience with stuff like this?
I think they do care. And I'm going to say it in a different way. They care about him as not just being offensive coordinator, but him just as a man. I mean, just me, if I'm a player and I know my coach went through something tragic or did something wrong, I'm going to figure out a way to help him. I think they care in that sense. And I know they got a game and stuff going on, but I still think that they care about him, not just as an offensive coordinator, but just care about him just as a man and make sure he's all right in life and not just as an offensive coordinator.
So, but there, I don't think there's any anger towards Todd Downing from the players.
No, I mean, I don't think it's anger. I mean, right now, I mean, anger's not going to really do anything. I think, you know, guys want to make sure that this cat is all right. They want to make sure that this doesn't lead to something even worse. So, because you don't want that situation to happen. I understand that. They understand the magnitude of what he did. They understand it's wrong. They understand that he shouldn't have did that. But at the end of the day, they want to make sure that he is right mentally, because if he's right mentally, it's not that he can just call the game mentally, but just be mentally right for life. So I think you got to look at it in that sense.
Chris Sanders is with us.
Yes, sir.
So last year before the Titans and the Bengals, you said the Bengals were going to get run out of Nissan Stadium and Ryan Tannehill threw three interceptions and they ended up losing.
How did
you feel about the Bengals approaching this Sunday's game?
Oh, man, I think I feel the same way I felt last year. I think the Titans are going to beat the brakes off them, and I'm going to tell you why. I love our defense. I mean, our defense is flat out phenomenal. I know we always talk about Simmons. I know we always talk about Archer. I know we always talk about Weaver. But the one guy that I think is the rock on that defense is David Long Jr. That cat is flying around. I mean, he's consistently around the ball. Last week, he had 9 tackles. He's just one of those guys that you want to have on your team. So, you know, even though the Bengals won last year, I just can't see them coming in here twice beating the Tennessee Titans, because in my mind, I think we're a better team now than what we were in the playoffs.
So Vrabel was asked about the playoff game last year. Tannehill was asked about the playoff game last year. And they both said, not a revenge game. It's new people.
They're lying.
50%
They're
new.
Lying.
Okay. Here's my theory. Yes. I think the Titans are afraid of Tannehill after the game that he had last week against Green Bay. Cannot take anything away from the game he had against Green Bay.
Right.
I think they're afraid of this PTSD from the Bengals game last year affecting Ryan Tannehill. Are you worried about that? Or do you think that this is a good opportunity for Tannehill given last year's playoff game?
I think it's a great opportunity. When I say it's a great opportunity, we always talk about overcoming adversity and overcome, you know, situations in your life. Because you got to remember last year, you know, everybody was waiting for him to talk in camp and wait for him to speak. And when he actually spoke in camp, listen to the words that he said. He said it was a dark moment in his life and it was a long time for him to get over. This, Matt Good, man, I'm not trying to preach, but this is a great opportunity for this guy to face what happened last year, to come in here and say, you know what, even though in my mind, even though I'm saying coach talk, and even though I'm saying player talk, but in the back of my mind, this is one thing that I can conquer in my life, because, you know, last year it was a dark moment in my life. So I think that even though he might not say that, you know, oh, it's not a revenge game, I just want to help my player, that's hogwash. It's something that as a human being and as a competitor that you definitely want to overcome. So I think it's a big, big game for Ryan Tannehill.
Chris Sanders, do you think that there's a bigger onus on Tannehill after what happened in the playoffs last year because it's the Bengals this week? Or do you think that he won't really feel that until the playoffs come? Because all those questions are going to come back, regardless of who it is in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the Bengals because if you look at last year, what team kicked us out of the playoffs? The Bengals. So I think it's the team because that was the team that took us out of the playoffs. So I just think that that's why the magnitude of it is so big because look at the whole situation. Last year we had home field advantage throughout the whole playoffs. I mean, that means everybody, that means the way to the Super Bowl was coming through Tennessee. But then you have the Bengals that come in and shock the world and beat the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to tell you something. The coaches may not say it, the players may not say it, but this is a big statement, not just for Tannehill, but a statement for this Tennessee Titans organization and these fans.
Chris Sanders is our guest on the program. Treylon Burks had his best performance of the season. I felt like Robert Woods and Austin Hooper, which we'll get to Hooper in a second. I thought they probably had some of their best performances. I did hear that was your pick to click, which you know if I was there, I'd have given you the business on that. Now you and Derek Mason have been so negative towards Austin Hooper. But Burks and Woods specifically, what did you make of that, and can that continue? Because I think that may change the dynamic of the team if that's the case.
Absolutely, 100%. I know Treylon Burks was, got a bad rap early in the season, but man, he played well in that game. And the one thing that I saw that he did well is he created separation, him and Woods and Westbrook. I mean, we always talk about guys getting open and guys creating separation. I know the couple of games before that, they wasn't getting separation, but they actually did it in this game. So I'm glad to see that they're making plays. I'm glad to see that Tannehill is figuring out a way to where he can build trust with those guys. But with these guys playing well in the running game and our defense, let me tell you something, Jared, this is a scary, scary team, and I guarantee you this can definitely continue.
You know what I don't get, Chris, is I hear all these other people across the league talking about their offensive lines and how upset they are with their offensive lines. The Titans have a backup at left tackle. Aaron Brewer's been playing left guard, but he had to play center. They had Dylan Ravens playing left guard, so three backups, basically. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer's a third-round rookie. He wasn't the seventh pick in the draft. And they've got, a legitimate right guard in Nate Davis. That's a backup offensive line, basically. And they went to Green Bay, and I thought they protected Tannehill really, really well on Thursday and maybe didn't get the credit for it. What do we make of the offensive line, given the fact that it's a bunch of backups out there?
Yeah, but the one thing that I know you're saying they're backups and this and that, which is understandable, but when you have guys that fight on every play and want to give everything that they have, I mean, it just makes your team better. And we talked about this, or Mike Vrabel talked about this when he's drafting players or bringing guys in. He says he wants to make sure each guy that he brings in is versatile. When I say versatile, that means you can play any different position. Look at Brewer. You moved him to center. And they didn't even skip a beat. Why? Because that's the culture, and that's what they want. He wants versatile players that you can plug in at any time and get the same results. So, man, this offensive line, man, even though we look at them as not starters, but, man, I'll roll with this offensive line all day long. Number one, why? Because they fight. They're smart. They're not going to take off any plays, and they're tough. So if you have an offensive line that might not be the most athletic, but they'll fight you, and they're tough, man, hey, you can go to war with them cats any game of the week, and I'll take them any day of the week.
Chris Sanders, as always, joining us on a Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Chris
Sanders.
You too,
my man. Thank you so much.
You
love
and
you
your
guys.
Family. Bye-bye. We will see you for the pregame show. Chris Sanders joining us, as always, presented by Parman Energy. Parman is hiring fuel drivers at ParmanEnergy.com. They are hiring fuel drivers at ParmanEnergy.com today. Speaking of Chris, be sure to join us for the pregame show. That's coming up on Sunday, live from Sunny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join me, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans and the Bengals. Pre-game show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel's keys to the game on the TV show. And I thought it was very telling, Caroline, what his key to the game against the Bengals was. I was not stunned by it, but it confirmed my belief. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.